We were in chapter 26. We didn't quite finish chapter 26 last time. I want to just point out a couple things. In chapter 26, Isaac goes and lives in a land where Abimelech is king. And there's this whole story of this kind of the same thing that happened with Abraham. Remember when Abraham went and lived in Egypt for a little while, and his wife was so gorgeous that he was worried about her, you know, the king taking her to be in his harem, and so they lied about her being his sister. Well, Isaac does the same thing with Rebecca, because I don't know what it is with these women of the, you know, associated with Abraham, but they're all gorgeous. Right, you got Sarah's gorgeous, Rebecca's gorgeous, and then Rachel later, Jacob's wife is also gorgeous. So I don't know what that's about. But anyway, so he lies just like Abraham lied, and then there's kind of the same thing repeats itself with Abimelech. There's no need for us to read through all that. And then there's this conflict between Isaac and his servants tending his flocks, and Abimelech's servants, and they have sort of this dispute over these different wells and things, and that's in chapter 26. So we don't really need to get into all that. But what I want to point out is in verses 24 and 25 in chapter 26. And every time this happens, I'm trying to stress it. Abraham, remember, Abraham, God appeared to Abraham. He gave him these promises, right? The promise of he was going to multiply his seed. The promise that through his seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. The promise of the land inheritance, that his seed would inherit all this land as an everlasting possession, and how, and so forth. So we see that repeated to Abraham. Then we see it repeated to Isaac, and it's repeated at least twice to Isaac. It's here in verse 24. It says, "The Lord appeared to him the same night and said, 'I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear. I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake.' So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord." You see that expression, called on the name of the Lord? We've talked about that expression in the past because we saw it first early in the book of Genesis. Does anybody remember who was the first one that it stated that they called upon the name of the Lord? Or literally, the Hebrew reads, they called themselves or took to themselves the name of the Lord. Does anybody remember who was the first one where we saw that expression? It's very early in Genesis. It was Seth. Adam's son Seth. When he had a child, he named his child Enos, which means mortal. What does mortal mean? Dying. That's what it means. He's dying because the death sentence on mankind. And when he named his child, it says, then he began to call to himself the name of the Lord. All right, which means to be called by God's name. That is a people separated to the worship of the one true God, as opposed to the general population that worshiped all these pagan gods. All right, so, and then Abraham did the same thing. Abraham builds an altar, and then he calls to himself the name of the Lord. We saw that. Isaac does the same thing. And God is passing these promises down generationally, first to Abraham, now to Isaac, repeating the same things he said to Abraham. Isaac is dedicating himself and his descendants to the one true God. That's what this is about. Now, let's just skip down to verse 34. Last week we talked about Jacob and Esau, their birth. You know, they were twins, and all the thing about Esau selling his birthright to his brother. And we talked about their character. Remember that? The character of Jacob versus the character of Esau, right? We saw that Esau was a hunter and Jacob was a shepherd. And we talked about kind of the differences in that. But we also talked about how that Esau treated these promises that were being passed down generationally from God to Abraham, Isaac, and now to Jacob. Esau took those things lightly. He didn't care. He sold his right to the promises of God for a bowl of porridge or pottage or whatever it was called, right? So he treated God's, the things of God, very lightly. Jacob valued those things, all right? So let's look at Esau here in verse 34 of chapter 26. It says, when Esau was 40 years old, he took as wives Judith, the daughter of Beri the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. And they were a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. Anybody ever have daughters-in-law? Don't raise your hand because we don't want somebody might know who we're talking about, right? Anybody? Do you know anybody that has had a son marry a woman who was a grief to the son's parents? Anybody know anybody like that? I'm sure we do, right? I'm sure we do. Well, this is what happened. So, and this points back to Esau's character, right? When Abraham wanted to get a wife for Isaac, what did he do? Did he just go out and find the best-looking girl out there in the among the pagans? No, he went and sent his servant all the way back to his homeland, to where his family was, and he found a wife that really that God had chosen for her, right? So Abraham did that for Isaac. What does Esau do now, right? Isaac's son. He goes out and he picks two pagan women to marry, right? He's going against the family tradition. He's going against the mindset that Abraham had, the mindset that Isaac had. He's going against it. And he's a grief of mind to them. You know, it's if you keep your finger there, but go over to chapter 27 for just a minute. And verse 46. A little bit later in the story, it says, Rebekah, and that's, of course, this is Esau's mother, right? Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. Again, Esau's wives. All right, Heth was the ancestor of the Hittites. So she says, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth, her daughters-in-law. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth, like these who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me? That just kind of gives you just a little bit of insight into what was going on in this family dynamic with Esau and his wives and his father and mother. Anyway, all right, so let's begin reading in chapter 27. We're getting now into the life of Jacob, right? We've pretty much concluded the life of Isaac. And again, the covenant that God made with Abraham is passed down to Isaac, skipping Ishmael. Now it's passed down to Jacob, skipping Esau. All right? It's important that God is choosing not the firstborn, but the one whose character is going to be in alignment with God, what God has planned. All right, so chapter 27. Now it came to pass when Isaac was old, his eyes were dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, it's interesting that he's older son, because they're twins. He just happened to come out first. And he said to him, my son. And he said, here I am. Then he said, behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And make me savory food such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. Now, you may remember in the chapter, I think it was 25, after the two boys were born, and when it says that Esau was a hunter and Jacob became a shepherd, that it says that Isaac favored Esau, but Rebecca favored Jacob, right? So they each had their favorite son. And why did it say Isaac favored Esau? Does anybody remember?
Was it because he
hunted? Yeah, because he hunted wild game and he prepared, you know, food from the wild game, and he liked his cooking, right? That was the bottom line why he favored his son, which is Kind of a dumb reason if you think about it. I know we have a hunter in the room here, but I'm not equating you with Esau, just in case you're wondering. Okay. All right, so verse 4, and make me savory food, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. So Isaac has decided, he knows that the promises that God gave to Abraham were passed on to him and not to Ishmael, his older brother, right? He knows that. And he also knows that the blessing of Abraham is going to be passed on to one of his sons. And he, at this point, he's old. He's inclined to pass that down to Esau as opposed to Jacob because he favors him. All right? We know God has other plans, right? All right. So verse 5. Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, bring me game and make savory food for me that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now, it's important to know that in these days, the father, before he died, would pass a blessing onto his son. And it's almost always the firstborn, right? And he would inherit basically all that the father has. Or at least the lands that the father had, this would be passed on, and he would pronounce a blessing, and it was irrevocable. This was the custom. So Rebekah says, verse 8, now therefore, my son, to Jacob, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food for them, for your father, such as he loves. Now, there is a difference between farm-raised meat and game. There's a difference in taste, and you'd think that Isaac would be able to immediately taste it. Wait a minute, this is goat, right? This is not deer or whatever. This is goat. But let's keep reading. Then you shall take it to your father that he may eat it and that he may bless you before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man. I'm smooth-skinned. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing. But his mother said to him, let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me. And he went and got them and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory food, such as his father loved. And then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put skins of kids of goat on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she gave the savory food. I have to think that Isaac must be, like, out of it for this to fool him. Right? I mean, it says he's nearly blind, but even so, it seems like he must be kind of losing his his ability to, anyway. Then she gave him the savory food and the bread, and she had prepared it to the hand of her son Jacob. So when he went to his father and said, my father, and he said, here I am. Who are you, my son? Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. So he's flat out lying, right? He's lying. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me. But Isaac said to his son, how is it that you found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord your God brought it to me. He's lying again. There's two lies. Then Isaac said to Jacob, please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not. So he's suspicious. So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. He did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Then he said, are you really my son, Esau? And he said, I am. He said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's game so that I may bless my soul may bless you. So he brought it near to him, and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said to him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, now here's the blessing that Isaac places on Jacob. Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of the field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, a plenty of grain and wine. Now here's the key statement. Let peoples serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren. That means over his brother, right? And let your mother's sons bow down to you. Curse be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. And that's, of course, quoting from the statement that God said to Abraham, right? What's he doing? The blessing means that, unknowingly, Esau is going to have to be subservient to Jacob. That was his father's blessing. Remember, when the fathers gave their blessings in these ways, it was considered irrevocable in those days. Now it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. He also made savory food and brought it to his father, and said to his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me. And his father Isaac said to him, who are you? So he said, I am your son, your firstborn Esau. Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with exceeding great and bitter cry, and said to his father, bless me also, O my father. But he said, your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing. And Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? Now the word Jacob, the name Jacob, means one who takes what is not his, basically. Okay, and that's what he was named. For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now he has taken away my blessing. Now Jacob didn't take away his birthright, right? He sold it for a pot of soup. Have you not reserved a blessing for me? Then Isaac answered and said to Esau, indeed, I have made him your master, and all his brethren I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I now do for you, my son? And Esau said to his father, have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him. Now he gives him a blessing, but it's not the blessing, right? It's not the primary blessing. Behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth, of the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass when you become restless that you shall break his yoke from your neck. Now, this is interesting. Does anybody remember anybody else that was said to live by the sword?
Was it Ishmael?
Bingo. Ishmael, right? Isaac's older brother. There was a prophecy. Do you remember who the prophecy was spoken by and who it was spoken to? I know I'm asking you to remember a lot. I'll tell you. The angel of the Lord spoke to Hagar, Ishmael's mother, and said that he was going to be a violent man, right? And his hand is going to be against everyone else and everyone's hand against him. And of course, he's not just talking about him as a man. It's talking about his descendants. And this has been true today because Ishmael became ultimately the father of what we think of as the Arabs, right? Saudi Arabia is the area where he settled, and they multiplied in that area. And now we have Jacob and Esau. Esau is, as we'll see later, Esau, the descendants of Esau are called Edom, E-D-O-M. And they settled a little bit north of Saudi Arabia in what is today called the country of Jordan, all right, which is on the eastern side of the Dead Sea and the Jordan River. The country of Jordan, they are the descendants of Esau. All right, so the Arabs are descendants of Ishmael. The Jordanians are the descendants of Esau. And just north of that, we actually have two other nations that we looked at briefly. You probably don't remember them. Do you remember the story of Lot, Abraham's nephew, Lot, and how that, you know, God saved him out of Sodom and Gomorrah when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? And then he was saved with his two daughters, right? Well, then, if you remember, his two daughters got him drunk, committed incest with him because they didn't have any males to, you know, produce offspring. And so they got pregnant by their father, which is, you know, one of those shady stories in the Bible. And and those two people became the children of Ammon and what was the other one?
Moab?
No. Moab, yes. Moab, yes. That's correct. Yeah. Oh, you're looking at my notes. Okay. I'm not looking at my notes. I should be looking at my notes. Okay. Yeah. So if you look at the Jordan River, I don't know if you can picture this on a map. I should have maybe printed out a map. But if you think of the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River flows down to the Dead Sea. All right. Israel would be on the left side of that, right? The western side of that. And all of these nations are on the other side of that, right? So you got the descendants of Lot, you got the descendants of Esau, and then down below you have the descendants of Ishmael. All of these people are related to Abraham in some way, but none of them received the blessing of God, that God gave to Abraham, which ends up going down through these, you know, through Isaac, then through Jacob, then through Jacob's 12 sons, as we'll see, and then the nation of Israel, which inherits this blessing, right? So we've got all their enemies. And you know, all this conflict that goes on in the Middle East, those nations are almost exclusively Muslim. And the hatred for Israel, the hatred for Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel later, is unbelievable. And they have been at war since the very beginning, since the book of Genesis. These people have been at war, and they're all related to Abraham. And they're all fighting. You know what they're fighting over? The promises that God made to Abraham. They're fighting over that land. That's what this is all about. And, you know, the story in the Bible, as we progress through the book of the books of the Bible, we get all the way to the book of Revelation. In the end, Jesus Christ, who is that seed of Abraham that the promises were ultimately to point to, is going to come back and resolve all this conflict ultimately. So the whole story that starts in Genesis, ends in Revelation, is being played out, has been played out since the beginning, and it's being played out in large part in our lifetimes, as these things are jockeying around to, you know, the final act is about to unfold there. Anyway, all right, so where was I? So he blesses Esau with a blessing, but he's going to live by the sword, which is true. These people have, that's been there. I mean, terrorism and all this kind of stuff comes from that mindset. But notice it says at the end of verse 40, it says, verse 40 says, by the sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother, which is exactly what God said to Rebecca when the twins were in her womb. Does anybody remember that? When Rebecca was pregnant with these two boys, and they're fighting in her womb. I mean, talk about predicting what's going to happen generationally. This has already started before they even took their first breath. They're already struggling. And she went to God and inquired, why am I like this? Why is all this turmoil going on inside my womb? And God said to her that there are two nations in your womb. But that the younger, the one born last, is going to, the one born first is going to serve the one born last. And Jacob was the one born last, right? And so that prophecy, God was saying what's going to happen down through the centuries. And here, Isaac, when he's blessing Esau, he repeats that, right? He repeats it. He says, you shall serve your brother. But notice the last part. It says, it shall come to pass when you become restless that you shall break his yoke from your neck. Now, what's interesting about this is this actually took place, and it's recorded in the Bible. Where do I have it in my notes? I thought I wrote it down. Okay, yes, in number 4. It says Isaac's prophecy that Esau's descendants, Edom would revolt against Jacob's descendants, Israel, was fulfilled about 870 years later. That's recorded in 2 Kings chapter 8, 16 through 22. This is much later, during the kings of Israel. They dominated Esau's descendants, Edom. Israel dominated Edom for all this time after they entered the promised land. And then they revolted and broke free of that. Okay, Edom did. All right, it's recorded there in 2 Kings if you want to read that. Isn't that amazing that God, I mean, while the boys are in the mother's womb, God already knows where that these whole two nations, what's going to happen with them. And even that they would break free. Edom would break free from Jacob. So much longer. That's amazing to me. But God's in control anyway, right? He knows what's going to happen. All right, so beginning in verse 41, we have Esau now. He's angry, obviously. And he plots to kill his brother. So it says, so Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, my days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. So after Isaac, he says, after my father dies, I'm going to kill my brother. And the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Do we have any brother killing a brother previous to this?
Cain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And why did Cain plot to kill Abel? Starts with a J.
Jealousy.
Thank you. Jealousy. Why? Because God approved of Abel. Abel was humble. Abel was obedient. Cain was proud. Cain was arrogant. God approved of one. He rejected the other, and he was jealous. What's the issue here? Jealousy, right? Same thing. All right, so she says, Rebekah says, verse 43, now therefore, my son, obey my voice, arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran, and stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away. It's going to take more than a few days, just saying. Until your brother's anger turns away from you and he forgets what you have done to him, then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereaved also of both of you in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth, Esau's wives. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth like these who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me? Then Isaac called Jacob. Now, remember, Rebekah's just sending him away to get away from Esau. But Isaac, by this time, Isaac has realized that the error, or, you know, the fact that he blessed his younger son instead of his older son. By this time, Isaac understands and knows that this is really what God intended in the first place. And so he's getting on board with it. Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. In other words, let's keep it in the family. Now, look at the blessing. Again, he blesses him again with the blessing of Abraham. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. So he is now clearly and unmistakably passing on the Abrahamic blessing. Now, do you see that phrase, the blessing of Abraham? The blessing of Abraham? That phrase only appears twice in the Bible. It appears here, and it appears in Galatians chapter 3, when it talks about us as Christians, by becoming joined to Christ, inheriting the blessing of Abraham, using the exact same clause. It's the only two places in the Bible that that clause appears. All right, so we'll look at that a little bit next week. I am out of time. So.
I like my version here. It says, Rebecca said to Isaac, I'm sick and tired of these local Hittite women. I would rather die than see Jacob marry one.
What translation is that?
I don't know. Yeah. A friend of mine recommended this. It's like a study Bible.
Yeah, that puts it in a pretty blunt language there. Yeah. Well, you know, that shows that does really show the importance of what the New Testament teaches as well, right? The Apostle Paul says to Christians, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship has light with darkness, right? Or the temple of God with idols.
And all that kind of stuff.
New Living Translation. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that Cameron, Candace Burke.
Yeah, I know who she is. Yeah. That's the one she recommended?
Well,
yeah.
She did all the beginning of each book and everything. She's written a lot of stuff
Cool.
It. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Day spring, so.
All right, well, let's pray and I'll dismiss you so you can go to choir.